ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike welcoming you to another one of our live first of the month Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard tonight over WWCR, both transmitter 3 and 4. That's 4.840 megahertz and 5.890 megahertz shortwave. And radio station WBCQ, that's 7.490 megahertz shortwave. You can also listen to us by going to the links on the internet from either of those stations, or go to our website, kingidentity.com, kingidentity.com. Go to our radio page and you can scroll down and see the links to listen live. The program will also be posted later in the week on the archive page. Tonight we have two guests, both from South Africa. One is Monica Stone. She's a longtime Christian Patriot activist who has fought many years to preserve our race and our faith. And the other is my cousin Neil Frisch, who has lived in South Africa for over 45 years now. And I'd like to welcome both of you to the broadcast.
Thank you, Mike. Good evening.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning.
Yeah, it's really early. It's 5 in the morning for you.
That's correct, yes.
I'd like to start with you, Monica. You've moved back to South Africa. You were born and raised, I know, there, and lived in this country for many years. But you recently moved back to South Africa, and I'd like to start out by talking about the change that has taken place since you were there in earlier years.
Well, yes, it was a shock, although I knew that it was going to be bad, it was still a shock to see my whole country being plowed asunder and becoming a whole garbage dump. By that I mean all these illegal aliens and other aliens taking over and just squattering all over. I mean, we had squatter camps before, but you could see them over there, you know, in the far distant lands. But now it's next to the highways, and I'm sure Neil can verify that to tell you what's happening. And them roaming around the streets and just piling up garbage. And, of course, the service is going to pot. There is no service. It's like my brother told me this morning, they're not picking up the garbage because they've got no diesel. If they stole it or can't pay for it, that I don't know. But it's really causing a lot of problems. So this is it. And the corruption is getting worse and worse every day. That's it. Otherwise, it's still the same. Being glad to be with my family that I've missed. I haven't seen them for a decade. So that was really a miss in my life.
As the nation deteriorates, what's the morale of the white people down there? Do they have hope or despair, or just what is it like?
A lot of despair, Mike. You know, we've got about 800,000 of them in squatter camps with no hope of ever getting a job because they're white. They said over the past week that the unemployment rose to 30 to 35%. I don't think that's completely correct because they don't even know how many people are in the country. How can they measure unemployment? Of course, amongst the whites, it's getting worse and worse and worse, losing their jobs and no hope. But there are our people, the inner core, the remnant of the remnant that really know that it's going to be okay. We're going through this tribulation, but it's going to be okay. A lot of things must still happen. And now we have Ebola coming into the country. So a lot of chaos will be because of that. And AIDS, of course, is also rampant. They don't talk about it. They just sweep that under the carpet. With the president most probably having AIDS, he said, well, just take a shower and eat beetroot. It's going to be fine. And the Minister of Health said, well, we'll curb the Ebola virus at the borders. I don't know how you curb a virus at the border. This is the problem, the denial of everything, and so nothing gets done. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I suppose that it's pretty hard for the white people to emigrate, too, because they're white. This country, understand, only 10% legal immigration of white people. This country's following South Africa in many areas, as I'm sure you know.
Oh, yes, and I can see following some of the emails I'm getting that it's going and going very fast. And with all those illegals coming in now from Honduras and Guatemala, the scum of the earth, it's going to go even faster. It's very sad to say. But, I mean, for whites, of course, it is well nigh impossible to go to any so-called white country. But I don't know where are any white countries anymore. I heard they're dumping them in Iceland also. So, and Europe must expect about 50 million of them. Because they need workers. That's the excuse now, to bring in the blacks to destroy the white race. And this is really bothering me that even here, talking to people, they do not realize there's a full-scale war against white people over the world, and especially here, being tortured and bludgeoned to death. I mean, in 2 weeks' time in South Africa, 121 people were murdered.
The same way Rhodesia went a number of years ago.
Sorry, yes. Of course, the murders in Rhodesia and the torture towards the whites were not as politics here now. It was mostly to the blacks. The Fifth Army of Korea, they committed all the atrocities. But here it is... it's a low-intensity war, meaning that we don't have soldiers running around in uniforms, and tanks and AK-47s, but machetes and guns they steal. So it's very low-intense war, but it's a war. But, of course, it's completely ignored in the outside world. It's not even mentioned. If you talk about it, then you're a racist. But what I can report is that there is a European Knights Project. They all over the world, and Americans against white genocide in South Africa are really doing a great job in enlightening the outside world of what's going on here. So at least they know what's going on, but they won't do anything about it because this is not the idea. The idea, of course, is to destroy the white race.
Well, of course, the like leadership, and in this country we have not only Obama, but just about every department is headed by a non-white or a Jew.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And, you know,
No, I was just going to say, and in South Africa, too, the Jews run the media just like they do over here.
Yes, exactly. But what's interesting is that Zuma now this past week announced that he's going to send troops to Gaza. So this will be interesting how the Jews are going to react about that. It's a paradox with the ANC being pro-Palestinian, but they're being held up by the Jews. And I heard last night very interesting thing that Malema was really stirring. He's the leader of the EFF. Lashed out against the Jews and said that the Democratic Alliance, that's the so-called white party, but completely riddled with Jews. The leader of the party, Helen Ziller, is a Jewess. He said they are being run by Jews. So they're really stirring quite a lot of stuff here. and how this is going to pan out and how they're going to be protected further by the Jews or being, I don't know. It'll be interesting how this thing is going to explode in the face of the ANC. But everything has a purpose, so let them just get on with it. This is what I'm saying.
We're all over the world, people, including quite a few in France, are protesting against the Jewish slaughter of the Palestinians.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, and I mean, in France, we know the president there is also Jewish. And in Germany, even, they're protesting. And as far as Iceland, all over. So it's not going so well for the Jews anymore. And maybe this is what the tide will turn here too, that they will go against these, proteges or the little black children. I don't know. We'll have to see. But it's interesting, and I don't know how many soldiers they can really send, because the army apparently is 24% riddled with AIDS, and they really made a big boo-boo in the Congo. They were fighting there and they were running. They had to bring them back because they wouldn't fight.
Sorry, Monica, I was going to interpolate there. I didn't realize you hadn't finished. This is very true, what you just said about the quality of the army nowadays. And it's very sad. The police, of course, are also riddled with corruption, as is most of the civil service as well. And what they're doing now is appointing, of course, or they have appointed for a long time now, their own proteges and hand-picked people like where you and I stay now, Ekurhuleni. It's a municipality with various dormitory towns of Johannesburg, about 10 miles east. And recently, the appointee to the post of police chief was a terrorist by the name of McBride, who planted a bomb in Magoo's bars in Durban back in the 1980s. And killed three people and injured many. And it's just ongoing, this sort of corruption. And the police are in on it as well, of course. And many of the people just go into houses where they've had their spies outside, scouts outside, just to see when people are coming and going and when the house is empty. And they just go into the house if there's no one there, they are able to pull safes off the wall with jimmies and stuff like that, you know, for searching for jewelry and guns and this sort of thing. So, yeah, what you say is very, very familiar. Sorry about the interruption.
Yes. No, you're welcome. And I mean, I forgot to talk about McBride, but that's so true. But they appoint all these people now to sort of reward them for what they've done before. I mean, it was rewarding towards Mandela to become president, and I mean, we all know that what type of terrorist he was, although the outside world is making him a saint. He must just get his little wings and a halo. Celebrating Mandela Day all over the world. I mean, here it was not really a holiday, but a slow strike. And for 67 minutes, they had to clean up, but I haven't seen any black bowing down and pick up a piece of paper. They just leave it there, as you know, Neil. Yeah. Everything is so corrupt. They just don't do that. But they all, I mean, Zuma was also in prison for terrorism, and they never talk about the murders in Angola in the Quatro camp. About 80,000 of them were slaughtered by Umkhonto Sizwe, because they really didn't want to fight. They didn't want to participate in all these things. So, this is how they scared them. And of course the necklace thing, this is what they did when the black children come out of school. They will necklace somebody outside in the street to tell them, well, this is what's going to happen to you if you don't participate in this this terror campaign. And it is to me like what they did in Russia with the Bolshevik Revolution. It's the same thing, terrorizing people in bowing down. I don't think they're so very popular although Malema now is very popular because he's promising more than what the ANC even promised them. Nothing will come of the promises, we know that. So then they will riot against Malema. I mean, this is a vicious circle if this is not stopped. And I know it will stop because of a higher power. God will intervene in whichever way. I have no idea how, because there is no human power on this planet who's going to do something about it or can do something about it. This is completely out of hand now. Where do you to start putting this right? It's like talking to some of these Afrikaners. We must start standing together now and start shooting. Who do you want to shoot? We've got 50 million of them here. In comparison to 3 million whites, and of the 3 million whites, you can cut them in half, being liberal and the others are pacifists, they won't do anything. So how are we going to fight this unequal war? And then what are you going to do if you get rid of them all?
They've got the same situation here. I believe in the natural, we need divine deliverance in this country too, all over the world, our people, actually.
Yes, yes.
I know that in the natural, you've had the last election with white government down there, and especially any whites that amount to any Christian patriot type standards. But there are people in this country predicting that we've gone through the last white election of a president in this country because there's so many aliens.
I think I agree with you.
Before we continue here, let me give the callers our number. I forgot to give out our number. If you'd like to call in tonight, the number is 877-924-7722. That's toll free, 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAWS-RACE. If there are some foreign listeners who'd like to call in direct, or even if you're in this country and would like to call in direct, you can dial 678-949-5091. I'll give that once more, 678-949-5091, and we welcome your call. I know that the elections in this country and in South Africa, they tend to be getting worse. I'm not sure quite where the election stands at the moment down there, but I know that one of the great white hopes in this country is Ted Cruz, and yet he rode on the plane with Obama down to South Africa to pay homage to Mandela and also wrote a tribute to him on his website. And this is the person who's supposed to be so conservative and everything. We get sold out right and left, either Neil or Monica. What's the hope, politically speaking? I realize that we still need to find deliverance, but politically speaking, among the parties down there in South Africa.
Well, I don't know if I should comment first here. Of course, the elections on May the 7th resulted in a slight drop of support for the ANC. A lot of even their own people seem to be getting a little bit tired of promises made and broken, standards dropping and so forth. It really is a sad situation, but what is perhaps more worrying is that the third party called COPE in the 2009 election, that was a split off from the ANC, and it resulted in them getting 30 seats out of 400 in Parliament. But unfortunately, as they all want to be chiefs and no Indians, so they had a leader and a deputy leader who fought amongst themselves, and it was quite a moderate party, really, compared with the economic freedom fighters, which is Julius Malema. And the result in the May the 7th elections was that COPE was eclipsed from 30 seats back to 3. Because of the infighting, its policies just couldn't be really expressed properly because of all this fighting, and the voters just took note of that. And what happened was that Julius Malema, who used to be the head of the ANC Youth League, he fought with President Zuma and went out on his own. He owed about 80, well, let's say in dollars, towards $2 million US to the government in taxes. And if he was going to be sequestrated, then he wouldn't have been able to be an MP. So the sequestration was postponed so that he was able to stand in the election. And the result was that from nothing, he became a party of 25 MPs with 6% of the vote. Okay, sorry, that's my comment, take on it.
We have a caller from Grainville, Illinois, and you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to share with the scripture that in 2 Samuel 7:10, it talks about that God is going to give, he's promising King David that he's going to give him a land. And I'm just trying to find the scripture here because I had it. And he says, he's going to give a land to, he's promising a land to King David, which is, it's in 2 Samuel 7:10, and that it talks about in that scripture that Israel is not going to be moved again. And I believe that that land, even in America, is what is going to become is what's called the Stone Kingdom. And the Stone Kingdom is, I believe, what's being birthed out of all these birthing pains, out of all this great tribulation that is coming upon the world. And even though it may look hopeless in the nation of America, I believe we're going to see this promise that's mentioned in Daniel chapter 2, verses 44 and 45, that the fifth kingdom, the fourth kingdom was the Roman Empire, but the fifth kingdom is the kingdom of heaven, is called the Stone Kingdom. And the founding forefathers that came to this nation in the early 1600s and 1700s, they recognized that this was the fifth kingdom and that it was going to be birthed. But this nation has never been, America's never been what God has intended it to be. It's going forth into the future, and it's going to be the nation of Israel, where all the nations are going to flow unto America, unto this nation, which would be called the Stone Kingdom, where Jesus Christ is going to set up his millennial reign from and reign from this nation. But this nation will serve, even though we're going through a cleansing, even though we're going to go through a horrific type of cleansing with what God refers to the wheat and the tares, we're also going to come out of that. And out of the midst of that is going to be the birth of the Stone Kingdom called the House of Judah and the House of Israel.
Yeah, I might point out the scripture also talks about after the birth pains that it takes place in a day. In other words, very quickly. And if you read Revelation 18, you can see how Babylon falls very quickly. So the economic crisis may contribute to this, many things could contribute to this. Speaking of that, Neil and Monica, what's the economic situation in South Africa like?
Well, I'll make one comment and then, if that's okay, Monica. There's recently been a very big strike in the mining industry is very big in South Africa, having the deepest mines in the world, going down 2.5 miles, as a matter of fact, is the deepest. But in the platinum industry, which is a very important part, there has been a recent strike of over 5 months, which actually put the South African economy into negative growth of 0.5% in 2014, which is not a hopeful sign, and it remains to be seen whether it's going to be finished positively or what. The strikers are wanting a basic wage of about $1,250 a month. That would be 12,500 rand, about 10 to 1, say. And I, having been away a couple of weeks, I don't know what the latest situation on that aspect is, so I'll simply hand over to Monica, and she can enlarge and elaborate on it and bring it up to date. Monica?
Yeah, sure, Neil. Well, the strike is not over yet. They haven't been back to work because now they're claiming somebody broke into their lockers and stole their overalls, and now they want more. So nothing is happening there, and it is affecting something like 900,000 people. It's really, really bad. It is that it's long as now, of course, NUMSA is striking in the National Union of Metal Workers. So right. The factories around your area and Boksburg, and they're really getting very vicious. I mean, they're going into factories and nothing to do with them and just go and smash the computers and attack people working. So and shootings in the streets. So it's really going on really, really bad. But this was predicted by the seer that you know, you read the book, I'm sure, Mike. He predicted this strike, and it so it's still going on. It's the longest strike ever, and then they have the slow strikes with the post office every now and then. Like about 2 weeks ago, it's impossible. You stand and stand and stand, and they just take it easy. I had to pick up a book somebody sent me from the United States. It took me 45 minutes to get to the counter alone. And then the postmaster said, well, please be patient because we're short-staffed. There are so many people looking for jobs, so why can't they appoint them? But they don't have the money to pay them because all the money's been stolen. And now they have a court case with Transnet. This is the railways. That they don't want to pay the pensioners because it's a racist thing to pay the pensioners because only whites worked on the railway lines. Of course, that's not true, but they stole about 80 billion rand. Well, that's about, what is it, Neil, about $8 billion?
Yeah, that's about
$2 billion. Yeah, exactly. So that was stolen, so they don't have the money to pay the pensioners, and some of these pensioners get 1 cent pension per month. So what you can do with that is nothing, really. So they're also suffering. But the judge said that they do have a case, but that doesn't mean anything. As we know with the court case against Mugabe to not take the land from the whites, that was the World Court. He just ignored it. So this is what they do. There is no judicial system here either. It's all for the criminal. They get away with absolute murder, except the white people. But I mean, we don't go and slaughter people like they do.
Yes, it doesn't pay your input. Mail anymore.
Our caller from Illinois, have any further comments?
Well, I just thought it just, I wasn't ignoring what you were saying, but I just wanted to give us hope. You know, that in the midst of all this chaos that's going on and throughout the world and with the with false Israel over there and most of the Christian people in the world believing in false Israel, it does talk about in Romans that there's a time of blindness and there is also a time of an awakening. And Romans 11:25 talks about the mystery, it says, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that the blindness is in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the nations be come in. It's Romans 11:25. I believe that the great awakening is coming, and that people are going to see false Israel for who they are, and people are going to realize in Europe that they're the Israelites, and people in America are going to realize that there is Israelites too, and that's my hope in Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Paula from Illinois. Yes, it's already there. We just go through this now. No, we can't lose the hope, and thank you for giving that to the people. We have to keep the hope. It's going to be fine. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you for your program. I appreciate your sincerity and your integrity. God bless you.
Appreciate you too, and may bless you. What's happening in South Africa currently to the education and the health system and the various other businesses, and how does that compare to years past?
Oh my goodness me, there's no comparison. You know, we have about, that's what I read the other day in the paper, about 4,500 schools closed. And just this past week, some of the teachers walked out because there's no money to pay them. So the education is falling apart. And, of course, after 1994, they mixed the schools now, where we had white schools and black schools, Indian schools and colored schools. Now it's this high school around the corner from me, I don't even see white children there. It's completely black. So what's going on there, I don't know. They lowered the education very much like they did in the United States to accommodate all these others. I mean, they have all these degrees. Just an interesting story a friend of mine told me the other day. Her daughter is working for Barclays Bank in Johannesburg, and she's doing foreign exchange and working with billions and billions of rand, dollars, and pounds, investments offshore, etc., etc. She had a training on the Isle of Guernsey, so that puts you in the picture a little bit. So, of course, they had to appoint now a chartered accountant the other day with lots of degrees in accounting, a black, and he made such a big mistake that they lost $50 billion in one day, and he couldn't account for it. So he was called into the boss's office that's from England, and being Barclays, of course, and he said, all telephones off, and he said, I'm sick and tired of this BBEE, black empowerment. He said, you're fired. You don't know what you're doing. Yeah, but he got away with the previous company in dealing with this money. They just fiddled the books. While you're dealing now with foreign investments, you can't just steal or let $50 billion disappear. I don't know up to this moment if they ever found it, but yes, this is what they do because they don't care. I don't think it's not care. It's that they don't know how to do it. They're being pushed into a white man's environment and high tech, and they cannot handle it. It's just impossible. And this is my worry, Mike, that the whites lost their identity. They don't know who they are, where they came from, what they've accomplished, what they've built. And with the blacks, it's the same thing. They don't know who they are, where they came from. And they just think that it was always like this, driving around in fancy cars and buying a white man's house and just stepping into the white man's shoes. It was always like this. And we know that's not the truth.
South Africa was a highly developed, prosperous country when you were growing up, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely, of course. Yes, we were. I mean, I remember the days when the rand was more than the dollar. It was worth more than the dollar. I mean, I always made jokes and sent rand over to the United States to buy books and do this. And now you can't do it because nobody is accepting it. It's like the Zimbabwean dollar. It's absolutely worthless. It's just printed on fancy paper. And now we've got Mandela on our money. So it's real Africa now. You know, and how much they paid the Mandela family to have Mandela's face onto this money, I have no idea. But the Mandela family are really, really, very rich. You know, when Mandela walked out of prison, the British government gave him something like £10 million. So they're still fighting over the legacy and the inheritance of the money. So I don't know if that's wound up the estate, but really, that doesn't concern me. But all the money was stolen and given to Mandela to make him this big saint. They needed an icon, and they made Mandela the icon to right. accomplish what they've done.
Yeah, media icon, yes.
I guess the current president in South Africa is Jacob Zuma. I'll ask you both, what's he like?
He's just the same. I mean, he's got no education. He can hardly read or write. But again, they make him in an icon of, you know, he's very seldom in the country. He's flying around all over the world. And you know that in every president, it doesn't matter which country, when they start flying around the world, that their country is collapsing because they don't know how to cope with whatever is going on. And here it's the crime. This is what they say with all these farm attacks. It's only criminal. It's not a criminal. It is low-intensity war, and, of course, to get rid of the whites and torture them to death. I mean, this is what they do. But I just want to make a comment here of what in the Revolution from Above by Kerry Bolton, it's very interesting that he talks about the, well, the World Bank overview, this is, it's not very long, but just to put you in the picture, overview on Vietnam is enthusiastic as to the privatization of the economy and the rise of the public debt to over half the GDP. It is a very graphic example of how a supposedly socialist state was quickly integrated into the world economic system after having been devastated by decades of no-win war. The scenario is very similar to that of South Africa, the issue of apartheid having caught the imagination of the masses of youth and radical useful idiots throughout the world whose agitation from below in tandem with the black and white communist terrorists combined with the pressure of international finance from above brought down the state intervention of Afrikaner economy and resulted in a privatized economy under the ANC communist coalition government. This is why South Africa had to fall. And of course, the other reason is because of the Afrikaner in South Africa was a tradition-ridden rural-based society. Such societies are not much used for the exploitation of by international finance capitalists. So there you have it. South Africa had to fall for this international finance. This is what it's all about. And I think they're not finished yet. This is why they have Malema to really stir up more and have a complete full-scale revolution so that they can devastate South Africa like they did Russia and hopefully, God willing, it's not going to take us 70 years to put this thing right. South Africa is too small a country.
I'd like to ask you in a minute here about the seer and what he predicted and so on. But first I want to give out our call-in letter to the listener. Call-in number is 877-924-7722. That's a toll-free number. If you'd like to participate in the broadcast tonight, 877-924-7722, 877-YAWS-RACE. Or the direct number for foreign callers is 678-949-5091, 678-949-5091. Of course, our, as you said earlier, our only hope is in Yahweh our God. But what did the seer predict? And actually, maybe you can tell us a little about his background and what he predicted in the past that it came to pass.
Well, what the he grew up, of course, on a farm in the Western Transvaal. Now it's Northwest Province. He had only 3 weeks of schooling. His mother taught him to read out of the Bible. So this is the only book he ever read. He didn't know anything about politics and what's going on in the world, but he was very cognizant what's going on around him. And, I mean, he went with the Boers. It was during the Anglo-Boer War, but he never carried a rifle. He never fired one shot. And he led the Boers. Now you're going to go through this river and now you're going to do this and this and this. I think that really helped, especially he was on commando with General Delarey and De Wet. But of course he was scorned like all prophets. If they only listened to him till the end and he said, this is what we have to do. We have to fight till the end. I mean, he became completely gray. He was in a terrible state because he saw his own children and his family being taken to the concentration camps, and he lost quite a few of his children there. He predicted that, and then when they were on horseback in 1914 going to Southwest Africa to support the Germans, he made the remark to Musvan that was on horseback next to him. He said, I see in the sky this flag with a hammer and a sickle, but when it's not flying in Russia anymore, it'll fly in South Africa. And, well, mark the dates in 1914. The hammer and sickle wasn't flying in Russia yet. But now it is flying in South Africa, of course. And he said, I cannot understand where all these kafirs, of course we can't call them that anymore here. It's like the word nigger is completely banned in the United States. Where they're coming from, and I'm telling you, they're pouring into this country. We talk about 50 million of them being here, still the land of milk and honey. He said, I don't understand. He said, but there will be tribulation for my people. He said, but when I see the rifle being aimed at my people, I see a hand pushing it away, and then they will start killing each other. So this is we saw it now, like Neil very, very clearly told us about Coke, the infighting between them, because they all want to be the chiefs and they don't want to be Indians. They want to sit in a nice chair and they want to drive around in their German fancy cars. They don't want to do the menial work. And this is what's going to happen, that they will start fighting over water, over jobs, and electricity, because they only demand and demand more and more and more. So this is what's happening. And of course, all the illness is breaking out. The dirty water they're drinking in the little town of Plumhof, I'll now give you figures on the correction, but 20 babies already died in the black township there because of the water being so dirty. Only 3% of the, sewage, is working. They don't repair anything. Everything is collapsing. I mean, here in Kenton Park, we was without electricity in this area where my brother's got his house for more than a week because the substation blew up. They haven't repaired it for 20 plus years. They're not people repairing anything. So everything is collapsing. And I suppose everything must collapse completely before we can build it up again. But the seer said that the white people will rule this country again from the Cape past the Zambezi. We will send troops to the north to bring civilization back. So that we'll have to wait for. But he predicted this strike with the mines, and he said it will be the longest strike and will bring South Africa to its knees. And it seems like this is the case because they discussed it on the news the other day that the country's buying platinum from South Africa found something better. They don't need platinum that much anymore. So only 20% of those who went on strike will be going back to the mines anyway. So lots and lots of them lost their jobs, but they don't care. The problem is here that there are white charity movements feeding these strikers. I mean, if you want to go on strike, then you don't eat. If you don't work, you don't eat. That's what the Bible tells us. But they keep them going by giving them food while they do not take care of the whites. I mean, the city of Rustenburg is absolutely, it's a horrific state, absolutely terrible. Cars burned out if they see the whites going to work. Of course, the whites are not on strike, but if they want to go to work, they throw bricks at the cars, burn them. A lot of people living in the cars, they lost their houses. They're living on food parcels. Somebody with a good heart will give them something to eat. So this is going on for 6 months now, since January. Something like 80 companies closed their doors. Even the pawn shops don't do any business anymore. They don't buy any furniture or nothing anymore because nobody's buying. So it's really, really bad. Nothing of this in the outside press, of course. I'm sure you didn't see anything of this in the news in the States, Mike.
Oh, no. If they talk about Mandela or any of the others, they just about worship him.
Yes.
Know that this is earlier than the prophet, but as our caller mentioned, we all believe in divine deliverance. Would you tell us a little bit about Blood River, the Battle of Blood River?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And this is one of the things that Zuma said, that Blood River has not been revenged yet. And Buthelezi, he's the leader of the independent party with the IPF. He said, don't go that far with the Boers because they are protected by God. He's really a very moderate voice, but this is why they kicked him out of parliament. He was the minister of Home Affairs, and he also pushed that even if you become an American citizen, that you can keep your South African citizenship. And now it's not like that anymore. If you become a citizen of another country now, you've got to, if you want to come back to South Africa, you've got to immigrate again and go through the whole works. But so this, what happened in 1836, the Boers went to Tingaan and tried to make a deal with him in buying land from the Zulus. And they left their weapons outside, the kraal, that's the village. And they were slaughtered, except one that could get away and tell the voortrekkers what happened. So the Boers then started getting together, and in 1838, 9 days before the Battle of Blood River, they started praying and asking God if he would give the enemy into their hands, that they will have that one specific day as a Sunday. And God gave them the victory. And if you talk to the Zulus, they will tell you that they fought against these men coming out of the heavens all dressed in white. And I mean, not one white that day died. They talk about 10 to 15,000 Zulus died that day because of fear. They started running away, and so the Boers had the victory that day. It was really a divine intervention. That's all I can say. 435 Boers fighting 15 to 20,000 impis. I know people tell me, but they had rifles, but 15,000 Zulus with spears, I mean, what chance do these whites have? So that was really a divine intervention, and the God of Blood River is not dead. And the God of Blood River will give us the victory again. But of course, like always with Israel, they turn away from God, and it became a day of reconciliation instead of the day of the covenant when God gave us the victory. And now we have the same scenario here with whites want to talk to Zuma and ask him and giving us an independent state within the borders of South Africa. And I made the remark, and I'm sure I'm not very popular about that. I said, so you have another Umkunkumbluwe. That was the village called when Dingaan was king of the Zulus. Are you going to leave your weapons outside again? And asking the enemy now for a piece of land. This to me is a terrible disgrace, because I don't believe God then that he will give us the victory in the end. And we have to keep the faith, and we have to keep the hope. And we cannot go and ask the enemy to give us a little peace. It will not happen. This is not what's going to happen. But they want to accomplish this. And then the other thing is that really, really sent me into a frenzy is that they even said they're going to ask if we fight with the Israelis against the Palestinians, if they will help us in getting a piece of land. I mean, this is now really asking the devil to help us to have a piece of land. How can we do that? We can't, I mean, how low do you want to sink now? Don't they understand? I don't know.
I don't think the establishment politicians certainly don't.
No.
I know in this country, like South Africa, it was founded by dedicated Christians who believed in the Bible and tried to use it for their civic law. And this is a post-Christian nation. What is the situation in South Africa as far as the general public? Are they worldly? Is it just a small remnant like in this country that are dedicated believers? Or is there a little bit, maybe larger proportion down in South Africa?
Well, I hope so, but I can tell you it was a big sadness in my heart. It's only a remnant of a remnant, like in the United States. But they are waking up. But you know what it really, really got to me is that a few of these people now wanting to go and fight with Israel against the Palestinians are professed Israelites. I mean, they belong to an Israelite church, like Kingdom Identity. So how can you now make a covenant with the devil in getting a piece of land? I mean, don't they read their Bible when Satan said to Jesus, well, I'll give you all this if you just bow down to me. I mean, how do we bow down to Satan and say, well, just give me a little bit of your country? It doesn't look like that. So
I
maybe I'm now
a little off subject, but it's still related. It's my understanding that one of the chief right-wing leaders in Ukraine, who should know better, endorsed the current coup and formed some kind of an alliance with Israeli or Jewish-occupied Palestine. And I know that there are people who talk pretty well and then they sell out. As I mentioned earlier, Ted Cruz is one of them on Mandela.
But Ted Cruz now is so pro-Israel. I mean, he's turning against the Palestinians. I don't know if you saw that.
Well, even Rand Paul went down to the Wailing Wall and put on one of those little Jewish beanies. And
Exactly. Yeah.
The so-called leadership is pretty poor use.
Oh, yes, of course it is. But, I mean, you mentioning the Ukraine, I mean, it's a sort of similar situation. It's just in another country with other people. And this is what we have here. We can't sell out to these people. How can you be blessed if you side with the devil? It is just impossible. And they're postponing the... No. So if I can just get to these people and talk to them, but, of course, they're not going to listen to me. They really, in their arrogance, will follow the worldly stuff. And we can't do that.
I was going to say, next month's live broadcast will be Pastor Bob Hallstrom with his Russian-born wife, and they'll be talking about Ukraine and other things concerning Russia and what they're being accused of. I'd like to ask you, before we run out of time tonight, tell the audience how they can help people in need, white people in need down in South Africa, if you could give an address.
Yes, I can do that. It's but don't send any money to South Africa because they steal it here. Don't even think about doing that. I mean, I got some money. Somebody sent me money from France. I still didn't get it. This is a couple of months ago. So what we've done is we started the Living Waters Foundation, and you can send the money to P.O. Box 282, Converse, Louisiana, 71419. And as soon as there is enough money, it will be paid into my account by Western Union, and I give it to Orphanage in Vereniging, completely white. It's very small, but they don't get any subsidies from the government because they're only white. You know, in South Africa, if the orphanage is 70% white, they cut the subsidy, and they only get 35% from the government. They cut it down to 17%. So this is what we're doing. We keep this orphanage of 8 little girls floating by money from the United States. We have quite a few people, even prisoners, sending $1, $2. This is why I'm saying you can't send it by Western Union if it's so little money. It's costing you more to do this. So send it to P.O. Box 282, Converse, Louisiana, 71419, and I will get the money. And we don't take any costs. That I'm carrying the cost and make sure that the money is handed over to the orphanage. And I thank you very much for that. And may God bless you for your help.
And the,
it's only a little bit.
The checks are made out to Living Waters Foundation.
That's correct. Yes, send only checks or money orders to Living Waters Foundation and that address. And thank you for that. This is how you can help. And this is all we can do at this moment, is to help out people like this. Don't send any food parcels, because we don't have the money to pay the taxes. They really tax us, what is it, I think 35% on every parcel coming in and handling fee. So it's not worthwhile to do that. So rather send the money to that address, and it will be paid over by Western Union. Thank you.
Well, thank you for giving that. I'm glad you're doing that. Did you have some further comments, Neil?
Not really, just to endorse more or less what Monica has very clearly set out as well. But the thing is, as has been touched on, many of the blacks just do not want to take responsibility. It's always shifting responsibility and saying that it's someone else's fault, which is very sad, really. because in the so-called culture of entitlement, you know, where they think, oh, they're entitled to this and that and the other, it's just a continuation of this thing where they repairs and maintenance to machinery and things, bridges and roads and that, is an alien concept to them, and it's not the best. I think that's about all I can add to it. And thank you, Monica, and thank you, Mike.
And I'd like to thank both of you. We're at the end of the broadcast, so we're going to have to sign off. But I'm sure the audience enjoyed what was said, and hopefully the hope that we have in our God Yahweh. So thank you to both of you for being on the broadcast, and I'll start our closing announcement.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.